money. Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger! They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce fall away at the horn. It's gone!
Morris, Ball, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three.
What's going on? Welcome to the latest episode of the Locked On Wizards. We are going to be broadcasted on Nothing But Net radio channel. And today, I am your host. I am Arthur Reynolds. You can find me on Twitter at District Mamba. And today, my guest, I figured I'd give the spotlight to some of my favorite Wizards Twitter people, hashtag Wizards Twitter. And his name is Ian. Ian, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man, what's going on? Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the shout out.
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead and plug your Twitter account.
Yeah, if anyone wants to follow, I'm pretty decent follow on Wizards Twitter. It's at @TheRealIan_E.
Yeah, there we go. I feel like, Ian, you pretty much watch every game. Is that correct?
Yeah, every game I can. Even when I'm at work, I'm always sneaking into the break room to catch the game too. So
yeah, that's I was like that up until this year. I feel like I've missed a lot more games than I have in the past. But yeah, it's always good to have some perspective from like every game. So we are going to talk about the game last night, unfortunately, that ended up as a loss for the Wizards. They played the Detroit Pistons without Blake Griffin. A part of me was like, oh, maybe it'll be a pretty manageable win. But it ended up being a 103-92 loss. I don't think that score really does it justice. It always felt like Detroit was in control of the game. Just looking over the stats real quick, Bradley Beal put up 15 points in 35 minutes. He shot 6 of 17 from the field, 1 of 8 from 3. Probably... I mean, everything else is kind of ugly from the game. Kelly Oubre was the second leading scorer with 14. I just always feel like if Beal is at 15 or less than 20, it probably wasn't a good game. On Detroit's side, we have standout performances, obviously, from Andre Drummond, who I swear to God, every time we play him, I can't wait till it's over. He had 24 points and 23 rebounds. Solid contributions from Reggie Jackson. I think Stanley Johnson did an excellent job on Bradley Beal all night. It seemed like he was hounding him. Any reactions from the Wizards Pistons game from last night?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's almost kind of predictable at this point, right? When we're going up against a team who, when you look at the roster, just the 1 through 5, not super talented, aside from maybe Andre Drummond at the center position, with Blake Griffin injured. And it seems like that has happened. It's happened so many times this season where the Wizards go in to a team that they should be able to beat, that also happens to have an injury to their best player, and they love to underperform.
That's definitely true. I mean, I'm assuming you felt the same way about when you saw Blake Griffin was out. It was like, oh, maybe there's a legitimate chance that we could steal this one. I can't imagine what this Pistons team is like with Griffin and Drummond. I feel like that's... I'm not really big into DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I know he's been someone that I wouldn't mind on the Wizards, but that's just...
Yeah.
That speaks more about the quality of centers that we have, more so DeAndre Jordan. But yeah, Andre Drummond is just a... He's a monster on the rebounds and the pick and roll. He might not be as explosive as DeAndre Jordan, but he's definitely, you know, bulkier and like more of a presence.
I would kill to have Drummond be the center on the Wizards, but like you said, that's kind of more, that speaks more to the center's that the Wizards yeah. have on their roster. I think Drummond's come a long way. I used to hate on him a little bit. He used to be a super poor defender, but he's improved, I think, dramatically as far as just being a rim protector. I mean, he had a few blocks last night, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it looks like he's officially recorded as one, but I feel like there were definitely a few shots that he altered for sure.
Yeah, it could have been a few Gortat flail shots at the rim. Who knows?
Yeah, pretty much. Have you seen the Pistons play with Blake Griffin?
I have. They were pretty hit or miss. They had some success at the beginning, right after the trade happened. He was kind of feeling it from the perimeter. He was hitting his 3-point jumper,
yeah,
which was helping them a lot. But then they also, if I remember, after they won their first two games, maybe three, they went on a losing streak. And then that's when he got hurt, too. So.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. See, that's what I sort of assumed, especially with Blake developing a 3-point shot. I mean, at this point, everybody has a 3-point shot, except our big men.
I would love to see that. Just yeah, March that, just chucking them up from the corner.
I mean, even with Toronto, with Valanciunas, who can like pull up from three now. So like, I can't imagine what that does, because that has to stretch the floor even more so. Like if you have a lineup with a stretch five, stretch four, and then like Porter, Beal, and you know Wall, that seems like pretty tough to stop, as long as like they're quality shooters. But we're stuck in our centers are stuck in like 2005, while our backcourt is in 2018.
Yeah, it's tough to talk about the center position right now. If you're a Wizards fan, it's, you know, gone are the days of Gortat dropping 30 points and 1 billion rebounds against the Pacers in the playoffs. You know, those are gone. Those days are gone.
When I think of Gortat, that I'm pretty sure you're talking about the same playoff game where he just went off for like 30. I think it was like 36 points and like almost close to 20 rebounds. That game
I think he had 19 boards. Yeah, yeah, that was insane.
That game was like the game. Like, unfortunately, I don't really remember other Gortat games. But yeah, that one definitely stands out. That was his game.
I remember him having games like that. I remember him having games like the triple overtime game against the Raptors years ago, where he had 30 plus and 20 plus again. But that, I think the NBA has changed too much to cater to someone like March. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough. He went from being able to just exploit the pick and roll, you know, him and John Wall against much slower centers like Roy Hibbert, to now he's trying to, what's he, on the perimeter against Karl Anthony Towns. Just not very, very ideal.
So. Kelly Olynyk. I feel like every time I host, I always bring up Kelly Olynyk. It's just, it's still very frustrating that, you know, I was about to say we, but Brooks couldn't make the adjustment to take Mahimi and Gortat out of the game and just put Morris or Jason Smith, for that matter, on Kelly Olynyk. But again, every time I host, I always bring that up because it still hurts me.
It's a killer, man.
Till today. Anyways, moving on. I felt like Gortat had at this point, I don't remember when in the game, but there was I think it was right at the beginning, where even Drew Gooden, who was part of the broadcast last night with Steve Buckhans, was pointing out how Gortat was, you know, feeling it early. He ended up shooting 5 of 7 for 10 points, 12 rebounds, and he was a minus 11.
And I remember it was the very beginning of the game. He had 8 of the Wizards' first 10 points. It was at least 6 of the first 8.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting to his spot well and just getting up quick hooks before Drummond could recover there. He's playing well. And it's funny because every time we go up, specifically that he matches up against Andre Drummond, even if you look far back historically, the last several seasons, he tends to play super well against Andre Drummond. Mm-hmm. But tonight he got punked kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I will give him that credit. I feel like he has success with Drummond because Drummond is more of like an old school sort of type of center where it's, you know, back to the basket type deal. Gortat has had some similar success with like DeMarcus Cousins, which is really weird. But I think with Cousins, With Cousins, it's more of a head game. Like, Gortat knows, like, to exploit, like, that he's lazy, so he's, like, hustling up and down the court.
Yeah.
You know, just get under Cousins' skin, kind of like Kevin Garnett used to do with Andre Blatch. God, those were also terrible matchups. Terrible memories every time we played the Celtics with Kevin Garnett, or even the Timberwolves, for that matter. But moving on, so that was last night's game. The Wizards play again Saturday afternoon, actually. I didn't realize it. 3 o'clock tip. Hopefully, that'll bring the return of John Wall, which we can dive into a little bit, because I feel like it's kind of... It's not getting the attention of the quarterback controversy, like Cousins and Kirk Cousins and Robert Griffin III used to have. But I feel like there's going to be some, I don't know, like Beal is going to have to delegate. Satoransky is going to have to move to the bench. Like, roles are going to change. And anybody that's gotten comfortable while Wall's been out is going to definitely have a big adjustment period. What do you think? What do you predict? Let's just say that Wall is good to go tomorrow night. What do you think? What are you expecting from John Wall if he plays tomorrow night?
I think obviously there's going to be a minutes restriction, I would assume. I don't know if Brooks or anyone from the organization has touched on how many minutes it's going to be. I would hope to get a good 15 minutes of play from him. He looks, you know, from everything we've heard, it seems like he's healthy again. He's practicing full contact. He looks good. It's interesting to think about the change in the team dynamics with Wall on the court, and then kind of what we've seen. I guess it's going to be remembered as the everyone eats era.
Everybody eats, but it was like the first like 10 games. And then
of course, it's a small sample size went away. The scouting report's kind of catching up to the team without Wall. But I think the major difference, and one cool thing that's been fun to watch the team without John Wall, is the hyperactivity that's happening off the ball. And it's something as fans who, you know, we watch every game. It's something we haven't seen in a long time, because typically the Wizards' formula for success has been, let's just give the ball to our best player and he's going to set the table. And he's going to force defenses. He's going to give the defense multiple incorrect choices, right? Like, you either leave a man rolling wide open to the rim, or you leave someone open in the corner for a three, or you give me an easy lane to the rim for a dunk, and you have to choose what you're going to stop me doing. And I'm, you know, as John Wall, he makes typically, at least in the past, this has been kind of a weird season, makes the right decision like 90% of the time. But off ball, and I didn't really notice this as a weakness in his game until we saw all of the activity from Satoransky, but everyone else without Wall on the court, constant movement, constant screen setting and rolling to the rim, everyone moving to different spots on the floor. Going back and looking at footage of Wall without the ball in his hands, and I love John Wall, but he would sit in the corner and pretty much do nothing.
Right. Almost taking himself out of a play.
Yeah, and you know, maybe I get that you stand in the corner to maybe create some more space, but just sitting there, you either catch the ball and shoot up a three, or you get run off the line and take a mid-range J at the end of a shot clock. So I don't know. My gut tells me that when John Wall comes back, we're probably going to get more of the same, as far as he's going to be setting the table, he's going to be facilitating. And I don't think the trade-off is a bad thing, because he's so dynamic. But in a perfect world, I would love it if he had been paying attention or watching any of the film sessions from these games that he's missed. Could you imagine, I mean, John Wall improving that part of his game and being elite off the ball? Because it would be, you know, when I think about the size and the athleticism and his basketball IQ, it makes me think of like Dwayne Wade when you look at John Wall and you imagine what he could be off the ball if he wanted to be.
Yeah, no, that is definitely a great point, and it brings up, at this point, probably a couple weeks ago, I believe Sports Illustrated pulled up a statistic that right to your point, John Wall has only made one cut his entire season.
It's insane, dude. It's crazy.
One cut to the basket and he missed. So although this is more of a, it's more of like who he is or what the offense is set up. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Brooks is telling him just stand there, but obviously you would hope, just like you mentioned, that when he comes back, he kind of adapts that part to his game. Cause if anything, that's going to create easier looks for him. That's going to create, you know, easier like breakdowns. Like if they hit him on a backdoor cut with his speed, he can either score very quickly, or with his creativity and his passing, he can like kick it out to like a wide and even more open look for like Porter or Beal or somebody else that's on the wing. But yeah, that is something that I'm definitely going to pay attention to, because even just watching highlights while he's been out, like of old games and stuff, it's just standing around. Like, it's kind of like one-on-one basketball, and you know, everybody else is on the outside looking in. And I think that is what causes, you know, people like Porter or people like Kelly Oubre, Bradley Beal to go cold from three, because I mean, you need a rhythm to put up shots, and if you're just standing around the entire time, that's not going to happen. But yeah, those are all great points. I think most of, if you're a Wizards fan, you're hoping for that type of result as well, because I know it got extremely frustrating, and I'm hoping it was because of the injury, but just watching him just sit there, like just stand. Completely checked out. Yeah,
and in the past too, it's interesting because in the past you could kind of understand it, because there was really no one on the roster even capable of facilitating at even like a fairly high level aside from Wall. But now you've got, I mean, a few guys have just developed into very good passers. I think Otto Porter's got good court vision. I think he's a good passer. I think Markieff Morris, for all of his faults, actually has pretty good passing ability for the four, and even people like Marcin Gortat, and to an extent, which I guess we'll talk more about here in a second, but Bradley Beal, he's improved. You know, he's still got a long laundry list of faults that really bother me, especially when it comes to him facilitating and maybe taking on too much of a load, but he's also dramatically improved his passing ability. So I think when you look at the people that are on the court with Wall when he gets back, he has, if he wanted to take a lighter load from a facilitating standpoint, he totally could. I just don't know if he wants to.
Yeah. Hopefully it's that, you know, he was hampered by his knee injury, because I mean, that would probably make me want to not move as much. You know, especially if you're always on the move defensively. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up. We were going to talk about playoffs. How about this? I'll give you a quick 30-second spot. Who would you like to see in the first round and why?
Okay, so it would be Indiana if I could pick anyone, because outside of Victor Oladipo, in a playoff environment, none of their weapons are too scary. I don't think we're going to catch Indiana because they're on fire right now. So revenge series against Boston with hopefully maybe no Kyrie for half that series, maybe the entire series.
Right.
That's my pick.
Yeah, okay. I echo your same thoughts. I think my biggest thing is that they end up being healthy during the playoffs, because the way things are playing out, I mean, Beal has played close to 40 minutes more than he should be right now. I mean, I know the Wizards haven't officially clinched, but say they clinch tomorrow night, I feel like they should really like limit minutes for Porter and Beal, and throw out McCullough, and throw out, I act like there's a million young pieces on our bench, but throw out McCullough, throw out Smith and Frazier, and just let Sato and Beal, two players that have really carried the load during this time that Wall's been out, let them rest up. Because, I mean, at this point, we're going to be matched up against Cleveland or Philadelphia at this rate that we're going. Like, what is it really worth, like, trying to win, you know, however many games are left so that you play, you know, you clinch the fifth seed or something. I don't think it's worth it. I think that
and last night you almost lost. I mean, we haven't gotten an update on Otto Porter, but also when Bradley Beal banged knees
right
with, I believe it was Joe Ellington, I mean, that was terrifying.
Yeah. So I don't really mind who we play in the first round. I would love to avoid LeBron, but at the same time, like, this is the hole that we dug ourselves into. So if we deserve LeBron, we deserve LeBron. maybe next year we won't go like what seems like 0-25 against sub 500 teams. But yeah, that's gonna wrap it up here on Locked On Wizards. One more time, I am at District Mamba. My guest today was Ian Evans. Ian, what's your Twitter account again?
At the real Ian underscore E.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining me. Please make sure you follow at Locked On Wizards for the latest and greatest on what is going on with the Wizards. Let's hope for a John Wall return tomorrow night, Saturday afternoon against the Charlotte Hornets. And I am your host, Arthur Reynolds. Please follow me at District Mamba, and I will catch you next week. Have a great evening and go with it. How I feel today. I'm moving slow cause Cody Cyril's in my lemonade. I'm standing in the shade and I'm selling lemonade. Sister and a pint of going right off in the A. Lemonade, diamond brush, then put it in your face. Lemon head, diamond earrings I wore yesterday. I'm pimping wearing when I'm. That's just how I'm chillin'. I'm smoking grapes and selling chickens, Corvette painted lemon. It's gold chain. Put it on the chain with the knee cut.